inviting me. I was thrilled when I got the invitation to come speak, and it's frankly very wonderful to see all of you. I see some fairly new friends, Jonathan and Vivica. It's nice to see you, and I see people that I've known just forever. And Annika, I remember when the announcement of the pregnancy came, even before you were here. I remember so clearly, and that really cute little thing that y'all sent out about, you know, on the birth announcement. It was so I remember you so very well. And Homer and Mimi, two Baptist MKs who came here to see Uncle David speak. It's so nice to have you all. Homer's parents were my first supervisors here in the country, so we have quite a history. As Chuck said in the introduction, we are leaving after 33 years. We're leaving the 30th of next month. And Chuck, in calling me, said something very warm and very affirming. That's all that Chuck ever does say, is warming and affirming, encouraging things. He said, we would like you to talk about what you've learned over 33 years. I was very affirmed because implicit in that statement is that the senior pastor in Jerusalem thinks I've learned something over 33 years. So I thought, yeah, I'll be prepared to do that. Then again, only another part of me said, he assumes it'll be a very short sermon in that case. Nonetheless, I'm very pleased to be here, and I did take it very seriously. What have I learned over 33 years? And that sort of prompted me to think about that. And I thought we'd look at the life of Joshua. And there are some parallels in Joshua's life that I think all of us have learned. I think it's always good to review some of those things. And well, while we have learned them, it doesn't mean that we have applied them all perfectly. In the scripture, we first see Joshua when he appears at Rephidim, when the people of Israel are being attacked by the Amalekites. And Joshua is called to organize an army. Moses does his part by holding up his arms and giving the army victory. But Joshua is called into battle. And we see him suddenly at Rephidim, a guy with, as far as we know, no military experience, leading a people with no background in military. They don't know how to outflank these guys. They don't know anything. They're sitting ducks in the camp against these hardened Bedouin masqueraders. And we see that Joshua does step up. He is prepared to do that. We later on see in Exodus 24, we see this same Joshua as he accompanies Moses to Mount Sinai. Again, I think it's noteworthy that he was chosen to make that trip. Then we see in a particularly loved story, we see Joshua as he is sent out. He and Caleb are sent out with 10 other spies to spy out the land. And he brings a report back that is inconsistent with he and Caleb together. Bring a report back that is inconsistent with the other 10 spies. And you get the impression, the way the scripture makes a reference to it, that the other 10 spies were older. Because they're called the men, kind of as opposed to Caleb and Joshua. Then maybe these guys were a little bit younger. And I think the scripture seems to testify to that by virtue of how long Joshua lived after that. And so we see that he held his ground against these guys. Didn't win the battle, okay? He lost that particular debate. But he didn't back down. He maintained against the majority, against older men, he maintained his conviction about what was right. So let's kind of keep these things in mind, and let's proceed, and let's read a bit about Joshua. I thought that we would, really to focus on it, we could read the entire first chapter, but I thought that we would read verses of chapter 1 of Joshua. I thought we would read verses 6 through 9. You know them well. You have a lot of the same words repeated time and again as they're repeated through this first chapter. But I thought it would be a good idea to focus on this. We see in Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9, we see, be strong and courageous. That becomes a refrain, right? We hear that again and again. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now the words, be strong and courageous, chazak ve'amatz, we see it a number of times in the scripture. Actually, Gary Alley did the research for me in a paper that when he and I were working on something. And this particular phrase appears 12 times in the scripture, 7 times toward Joshua. More than half the times this appears in the scripture, it is regarding Joshua. If I'm Joshua, I'm thinking, what's this about? I mean, I'm being told to be strong and courageous, be strong. Is there anything about Joshua that seems less than strong and courageous? Has no military experience, and yet he's ready to come up against these tough desert warriors. But that's what they do. They raid people out in the desert. And he's ready to lead these people who have no background in military experience. The last time people of Israel had been in any war at all, and this is very vaguely the people of Israel, were the relatives of Abraham 1,000 years earlier. These people know nothing about military. They know nothing about defending themselves. And yet this fellow is ready to step up and lead these people. He doesn't know what he's doing. They don't know what they're doing. But he's ready to be strong and courageous. And yet he's being told repetitively, be strong and courageous. Again, I think, well, that's a certain type of courage. Okay? Some of us, we go out to dangerous places. And granted, that is a particular type of courage, which many in this congregation exhibit consistently, steadily. But I also see in the other story that we mentioned regarding the spies that there's a certain moral courage which Joshua had exhibited. Against these older men, he held his ground. He wasn't mean in his response. He was kind, but he steadily said, the Lord can win for us this victory. Okay? Now, I don't know what they said to him. I imagine that we don't have the entire debate listed there in the scripture as to how this went down. But he didn't respond disrespectfully. He was steady in what he said. And he said, we can win this battle. Do not rebel against the Lord. And so he is being told this time and again. So I guess it's reasonable for us to ask the question, why is he being told this? Why, at this particular juncture, ready to go in to the land of Canaan, ready to complete the Lord's orders, to fulfill what the Lord has called him to do, why is he being told chazak ve'amatz so many times? Be strong and courageous. Well, I think we can probably just speculate here a little bit, and we can come up with some reasons. One, again, militarily speaking, this wasn't out in the middle of the desert, some desert marauders. He was now being called to attack bigger peoples, settled peoples, people who had dug in, people who had built fortifications, people that had already survived battles because they were there, okay? You don't survive, but you're not there. So he was being called against, not just, as said before, desert Bedouin or desert marauders. He's now being called to conquer the land of Canaan, which is a formidable land. Can they do it in the Lord's strength? Absolutely, they do. But this is a very different challenge than what he had seen before. So we can look at this, and we can say, well, this is the most obvious reason, and there is something to that. It is no doubt partially true. But I think we need to look beyond the most obvious. There are other things that are happening. The first I would like to say is Joshua is now being called to lead. You're no longer the second guy. Okay? You're no longer the vice president. You've got to step up. I go back to sort of my Navy past to say, you are no longer the executive officer. You're now the skipper. You're making the decisions. All these things are coming to you. You're not just taking orders. You are actually giving orders. You are the person listening to the Lord and giving these orders for people to follow. This is going to require new skills on your part, new capabilities. This is going to require additional wisdom, additional listening to the Lord, diplomacy, insight. You're going to have to find new ways to express yourself. Okay? You're not just the guy that gives the orders. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to respond in kind of what people say. This is going to require a dependence on the Lord, which you previously let the CO, the commanding officer, you previously let Moses do. You're being called into a task to lead, and that is unknown to you. Unknown. Now, that's a big word. Kind of a scary word. Kind of a scary word for people who have spent 33 years in one place, and they're going back to a new place. And we've traveled around a lot in these years, and we go back to my home state of Alabama. Marcia grew up in Spain, but her parents live in Kentucky. We go back to these places, and I kind of feel like I remain in a country that's not mine. But I talk the language real well. Oh, no, real good. Caught myself. Okay. I do know the language really well, but I feel like I'm going to a foreign place. Okay, I am being called to the unknown. But that's not so different. Okay, all of us are constantly being called to the unknown. Sometimes it is in a very blatant manner, in 33 years in one place and being called back to the States. That is certainly blatant. That is a very, very obvious calling to the unknown. But every day we get up, and it's unknown, particularly here in Jerusalem. There are unknowns implicit in our call every day. So the call to answer, or the challenge to answer this call, is to step up. It's the call to lead. It's the call to be that person that God is calling to do these things, to go into the unknown. And this call to lead, this call into the unknown, is often a quiet call. It's not the loudest of calls. It often comes in that call, I guess we can say, that Elijah got when he heard God's still, small, still voice, which in Hebrew is kol demama daka, a voice of thin silence. That's not very loud. If I'm taking the Hebrew pretty literally here, that is not audible. How do you hear that call? How do you hear that call to lead, that call into the unknown, when there are other voices that are much louder? The voice of doubt. The voice of uncertainty. The voice of, you don't know what you're doing. What is that about? What makes you think you can do this? Who are you to think you can take this? Were you really even listening? Did you really even hear what you thought you heard? That voice tends to be much louder. And these other voices and this chorus and this din can overcome this quiet, inaudible voice or sound. And yet we know which one is real. And we know which one to follow. That is the challenge of the believer every day. We're called. Not because God's looked around and considered the qualifications of everybody here. You're called because God in His sovereignty called you to do that. Okay? I'm not saying I'm the best. I'm not saying I'm the most qualified. I'm saying God has put this call on me. That's what we say to ourselves. That's what we do. And we listen to that voice, as quiet as it is, and we move forward into what God is calling us. What's calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? What is your responsibility? Where is the next area that He wants you to step up? Is it a move? What is God calling you to do? Okay, so that is one reason that Joshua, in a particular manner, is being called, be strong and courageous. He's being ordered that. time and again. Because he is called to lead now. He is called into the unknown. A second reason that I can think of that Joshua is being encouraged in this manner, in this particular case, is this will require perseverance. This is not just a short-term assignment. This is not just to go out and defeat the Amalekites and this thing will be over in 24 hours. This is not just short-term. This is go out and take on this long-term goal that the Lord has called you to do. This is your life challenge. This is what the Lord is calling you to do. And it's not just something that's over quickly. Joshua would march up to the central Benjamin Plateau, very near from here. I'll point in this direction, but I have no idea if I'm pointing north or not. But at the central Benjamin Plateau, at the Gibeonites near El Jeb now, Joshua had a forced march overnight. What is that, 20 kilometers, 1 kilometer straight up from Jericho? With weapons, he challenges the five kings of the south that are fighting against his allies, the Gibeonites. He dislodges them from the place. He chases them down the Modin Road. They go right down the 443 road. They get down to the valley. He asks the sun to stand still. The sun stands still, gives him more daylight. And he's still fighting all night. And in the morning, he still has the sword in his hand and chases them down the Shvelah. This is no short-term assignment. This calls for perseverance. This is not just one thing that you can do quickly. See your end goal. Write up the report and finish with. This is long-term. This will require perseverance. In many ways, this is also the daily call of the Christian. I saw some water under here. I'm not sure. It's for me. I thought maybe it's for Nucharoni last week or something like that. Thank you. This is the call of the Christian daily and all day and from now on. And it's not that we have one battle and then the battle is over. That's our challenge. Satan does not give up after one battle. Can you imagine a conversation in which Satan musters with his demons and says, David Smith had a good day yesterday. Let's leave him alone. I think he's on a roll. That conversation never happened. Okay? You know, at maximum, he might say, Smith rose above himself for a little while yesterday. It won't happen long. Keep after this guy. You can trip this guy up. Okay? He's thinking about himself all the time. He saying nice and affirming things does not come natural to him. This guy, keep an eye on him. Trip him up. You will succeed. That is the life of the Christian. Every moment we are to persevere, we are called for the long-term goal of glorifying the Lord until we are called home. You're washed in the blood. You're clothed in the Lamb's righteousness. That's a great foundation. That's a wonderful, wonderful start. But beyond that, every day we are called to live for the Lord. And every foot of the way will be disputed. Satan doesn't yield an inch. He's not giving up territory. You will have to fight. But the one that endures to the end, Jesus tells us, he will be saved. Not the beginner that gives up. The one that endures. So we see a couple of reasons here why Joshua, in particular, was told, be strong and courageous. One, he's called to a new task. Two, this is going to require additional perseverance. But third, this is going to require a very specific and exact and precise obedience. Don't turn to the left or to the right, he's told. Do precisely as the Lord requires you, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Not to get distracted. We're not to mess around. We're not to compromise. I remember as a child being told, don't step out in the street. suddenly the only thing on my mind is, how close can I get to the street without stepping in it? Parents are watching me. Watch. You move to the left or to the right. You fudge. You compromise. And once you've got your foot in the street, it's not long before you're in the street. And then you're playing in the street. And then you're crossing the street. The Lord seems to be telling us, take care of these little things. Don't move to the left or to the right. If anyone, James tells us, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. You think you're doing really well? What do you say? What are the things that come out of your mouth? Are you blessing people with your words? Do you encourage? Are you affirming? It's so easy to do the opposite. Particularly the mouth seems to keep us on the edge all the time. We are called to be very obedient to the Lord. And this, now that Joshua is answering directly to the Lord, there's no go-between anymore. He's called to be an example. And he is called to enforce this on the Israelites. We've been here 33 years, as said. And I do want to relate to the particular challenge, the charge that that Chuck gave me this week. And I think that I would like to again look at Joshua, some things that we've talked about. Joshua. I know that many of you here work for certain organizations. Many of you go out and have wonderful ministries in what you're doing, and ministries that I'm very, very supportive of. And Daniel, that was really awesome what you talked about today. You're really doing great work. I'm so pleased to hear it. And many of you are doing. I think Gary Alley is right now going to Jordan also to do additional work with the refugees. So your church is very involved in a lot of really great ministries. And I want to emphasize to you, in 33 years, I've seen a lot of ministries change. Mine has. My organization has changed. My supervisors have changed. Our strategies have changed. In response to that, I would like to tell everyone, don't get your feelings hurt. When things change, you know what you're to do. It's a still small voice. And I am saying, don't respond. Respond kindly. As we see Joshua and Caleb respond to the older men. Respond kindly. But you know your call. It's that inaudible, thin silence, but you know it. You continue to render your ministry. And you get to render your ministry. You get to have a great ministry. But I have also seen people in 33 years who got their feelings hurt and they packed up. And you know what you are when you're gone? You're gone. I believe some of them actually felt like they were making some impact. By the time they got through security at the airport, I think we had forgotten them. Okay. It's simply when you're gone, you're no longer making that impact. Follow your call. And I think of Joshua with Joshua and Caleb in this case, standing against the 10 older men. I don't know what all was included in that conversation, but that mean things were said is reasonable to think. Okay. They didn't get their feelings hurt, and they didn't respond in a hateful manner. They responded in a respectful manner, but they held to their convictions. They didn't get their feelings hurt. They didn't respond in an ugly way. And as a result, they were heard. They didn't win that battle. You will lose some debates as well. The second thing I would say is do the right thing, even if it is inconvenient. You know what the right thing is. In Joshua 9, we see that the Gibeonites tricked Joshua into, by subterfuge, into making a treaty with them. This was Joshua and the Israelites' fault. The word says they did not consult with the Lord about this. And they made a mistake. And as a result of this, they made a treaty. You made a mistake. Is it inconvenient when you're fighting these people to leave others behind you who could possibly cut off your supply lines, attack you from the rear? Yes, it's in military terms, that is not ideal. However, you've made a treaty with them now. Joshua honored that treaty. And I think that's something we need to note. In the story of Achan, we read in Joshua 9, Achan took booty from Jericho, which was forbidden. And as a result, Joshua had to have him killed and his family. I don't think this was ideal. I think at a time like this, I'm guessing that Joshua could have probably used every able-bodied man. However, this was the word from the Lord. It was a tough thing to do. He did it. It was the right thing to do, even though inconvenient. So we see that Joshua acted honorably. He did the right thing. In Joshua 24, maybe we should even look up Joshua 24. It's such a great passage. We have Joshua reviewing things with the Lord. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." He goes back and he reviews this history with the Lord and passes it on to the people of what the Lord had did to them. You were a pagan people on the other side of the Euphrates. The Lord is bringing you into this land. The Lord did bring you into this land. You were in Egypt. The Lord brought you out. You were in the desert. The Lord sustained you in the desert. And now the Lord has another challenge before you. And that last sentence is the part where I fell. I need to review history with the Lord frequently. The Lord brought me somewhere. The Lord has sustained me. For many of you, something's on your mind now. You have something that is concerning you. Is it the next step? Is it the next unknown? I don't know. But I would like for you to go back and review some history with the Lord. When you were a teenager and you had that crisis, did the Lord get you through it? When you were in the army, you're so concerned about this assignment or that one. Did the Lord take care of you? 10 years ago, what was it that you were going through? That you were consumed with? Did the Lord get you through that time? So I would say if I had it to do over, I would do a better job of reviewing history with the Lord. Because the Lord was with me at all those times. And I look back, and the Lord has given me victory after victory. I have no reason to think the Lord has changed. So I've looked very much forward to the Lord giving us victories in the future and whatever He is calling us to do. Another area that I would say is, and we referred to this earlier, do not take a task because you consider yourself qualified. The Lord does not need qualified people. The Lord can raise up qualified doctorates from stones. Does not need them. I'm not saying don't get your doctorate. I'm not saying don't study. Study, prepare yourself. However, the Lord does not need that. The Lord needs you to be willing to step up when He calls you. I look around and I am not sure if the Lord finds this funny, but honestly, I do say, I'm the best you got for this task. I mean, to me, there's almost an inherent humor in it, saying of all the people that might do this, seriously? However, I think we have to realize the Lord calls us again in that inaudible sound. He calls us to step up. He calls us to do certain tasks. And our resume is not relevant. What we've done, our education, our experience, where we're from, the languages we speak, that's not relevant. The Lord will use all of that. But when the Lord calls you, He calls you because He calls you. He calls you because out of His sovereignty, He has led you to take on a particular challenge. And the fifth thing that I would do a better job of doing if I had 33 years to do it again, I would take more seriously the call, Chazak ve'ematz. Be strong and courageous. I would have more confidence in the Lord. I would worry less. I would lean on the Lord more, and I would remember what the Lord has done for me in the past. And I would embrace the future with open arms as to what He wants me to do next. My situation is very, very clear. Your situation is not so different, although it might not be quite as blatant as ours. But all of us, every day, get up to the unknown. And we need to be strong and courageous. Let's have prayer. Father, thank You that You are steady in our lives. Everything changes, You don't. We worry, we fret, we agonize, and yet we often fail to realize that You've loved us as You love us now, as You've always loved us, and You will see us through whatever crisis is coming up. Father, we all dedicate ourselves to You. Guide us, Father. Give us strength. Give us that unshakable knowledge through that inaudible voice. Let us hear it through the din of other voices clamoring for our attention. Let us hear Yours. And give us strength to be strong and courageous. In Yeshua's name, amen.